Today on Traveling with a Mouse, we finally have a date for Tiana's Bayou Adventure and more information regarding the ride. That's up next on Traveling with the Mouse. Welcome, everyone, to episode number 451 of Traveling with the Mouse. I'm your host. My name is John, and I am joined by my esteemed colleague, Adam.
What's up, everybody?
How's it going today, Adam?
Wonderful. We finally have the information that we needed like a month ago.
See, I always assume that as soon as we release an episode that something like this comes out. But
yep.
It decided to come out like the day before our episode.
Right before the release. Possible.
Yeah. It's usually like right before the episode releases or like right after we finish recording or something. It's usually right there in that small window.
Usually, yeah. There was one that some big news broke on a Sunday night and we just scrapped and
started over.
Recorded, right, because it was, I forgot what it was now, but it was one of those things.
I thought about contacting you then whenever I was like, do you want to just throw something, a little something together and put out with the last week's episode? But in a way, I'm kind of glad we didn't because there was a couple of things that trickled out regarding it.
Yeah, we have more detail than we did on Sunday now.
Right. We would have had that little bit to talk about then.
Right. Now we have the big picture, so.
Right. We have more stuff. So
a lot.
So let's just do it. Let's just go, man.
Got it.
So Tiana's Bayou Adventure will officially open on June 28th.
Mm-hmm.
That's to the general public, everyone, at Walt Disney World.
Via virtual queue.
They will utilize the virtual queue.
Which we suspected.
Virtual queue only?
Yeah, at least initially.
Well, I'm trying to think. I have to look and make sure about that. But they indicated also that it's going to be on Genie Plus, not individual Lightning Lane. So that's interesting. That's a first.
You mean virtual queue and Lightning Lane?
Well, not necessarily at the same time. We'll get to that. We'll talk to that part. But let's kind of go through this progression as it unfolded, so to speak.
Yeah.
In between here, this is not related to Tiana's, but I did see. Did you happen to see that it was called a rumor? This was around the same time that they're going to all 1.0 devices of Magic Bands will be deactivated.
Yeah, I've been hearing about that for a while.
Okay.
It doesn't surprise me, but...
Does 1.0 mean... Like, how far does 1.0 span? Like, do they mean the original ones when they were kind of square? Because I have that one still. I don't think it works as it is.
Yeah, the square... Yeah, like you said, the square-looking ones, the original ones. The 2.0s are different from the... Magic Band Pluses that you have to charge now.
If the charge pluses.
Right, the ones that light up and barely do anything, by the way. Even like 3 years after they've debuted, they barely do anything. They'll light up during fireworks and stuff. And certain rides or, you know, you can do that one thing at Galaxy's Edge. But other than that, anyway. I don't even know if I still have any of my original one. I mean, I'm sure I do, but I would never use them anyway. So the old school, they're not very comfortable for one.
Well, I think one of the last times we went, I just went with key cards. Didn't even bother with Magic Bands.
Yeah.
Or my phone. I did one of the two. Of course, I don't like using the phone for tickets too much. It
slows you down.
Good. Yeah. It's not that good.
Yeah.
It's interesting because the most reliable option, I think, is the plastic cars. Out of all of them. It really is.
They're quick. I mean, the Magic Band, because sometimes it's uncomfortable to, like, you have to, like, line it up that way versus the card. You just throw it up there like a...
Yeah.
And you have to, like, okay, Mickey to Mickey, and it's not... Especially when you have your kids trying to do it, and they're just, like, throwing it up there, and you're like, it's got to, like, be flat against it.
Well, you know, you would think with technology, you know, that they've done with say, credit cards and debit cards, right? How you just have the contactless.
You just tap it.
You don't even have to tap it. You just got to get close enough.
Right, yeah.
You would think they would start utilizing that.
Yeah, you get like an inch away and it's like, ding.
Yeah, you think they could start utilizing that with, Disney could utilize that technology, right?
Yeah.
With their,
possibly,
you know, magic bands. Because what they're doing now with the pressing right up against it is almost the same thing as when you insert your card. The chip-on-chip type
the
deal.
The chip, yeah.
Is basically what that is. Anyway.
Refit. But yeah, so, if you have any original magic bands, that's what you still use, like 10 years later.
No. I don't think the 10-year-old ones, I don't think they work anyway. I really don't.
Well, those are the ones that are being deactivated, not the...
Not the next version?
Not the 2.0 or the Magic Band Plus.
Right. See, so. the ones we got didn't work in the first place. I mean, the thing is, when we first got them, we went there when they were still in the testing.
2014, right? When they were... Or
13.
13, yeah. 13. Yeah.
We went in 13 when they were still in the testing phase.
Yeah.
And ours would work for room key and for purchases, but it didn't work for a ticket for whatever reason. Yeah. They couldn't get it to work for a ticket. So they didn't give us cards for our tickets. So I couldn't get in with it anyway. I might could use it to buy something. I don't know if I wanted to.
Kind of defeated the purpose.
Kind of rambled on about that a little bit.
Yeah, well.
So back to Tiana.
Right.
D23 had announced a gold member preview for it, which is interesting. Are you a gold member?
I am a gold member. I was tempted by this because it looked like there was no restriction on how many times you could ride it.
It didn't really, it didn't.
It's basically an event.
Right.
For D23.
Isn't it already sold out, though?
I'm sure it is. If it is, I'm sure it is, yeah. It's only one date. It's June 22nd. But the timing is, 6:30 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. And for $60 plus $7 processing fee, for whatever reason that means. So $67, you get... Actually, no, the tickets, as we're recording this, haven't gone on sale yet. But I'm sure by the time you hear this, it's already sold out. But you get access to Magic Kingdom during the event hours and will be able to experience the attraction as many times as you want. Members are invited to mingle and make new friends with fellow guests as they snack on tasty refreshments. There's live jazz performances. There's a gift.
Well, you sure they don't mean a GIF like GIF?
Yeah. Oh, right. You just get a GIF. So for $67 for a 3-hour event, it's not terrible.
And how much do you have to pay to be a gold member again?
Well, it depends. Like, there are deals throughout the year where you can get it for a lot less, but I think the regular price is like $99 for the year, and then there's a family plan for an extra $20, I think. You can get more than one person on it, I guess, in your household. But there was a deal when I bought it last year that it was like, I forgot, it was like $20 off of that or something like that. They were offering some kind of deal. But with fees and crap that they added on, it ended up being like almost $90. I think it was $90 anyway. They charged an insane amount for shipping, I think it was. It was like $20 or $15 or something like that to ship the whatever the welcome gift was or something. So I'm like, okay, whatever.
Well, as long as it wasn't being done through the USPS.
Yeah. What was it?
In the state of Georgia in particular.
Right, I know. It's rough. It's rough. I forgot what they shipped it. It may have been, it was probably FedEx or something. But anyway.
You know, if I ever have a package or something of mine and it dead ends at Palmetto, I'm like, well, that ain't getting here. So,
right.
That's just basically what I say when the tracking runs out there. It's like, well, I'm getting that one. One of these days, all these things are going to show up like all at the same time.
You'll just get like 20 things on your doorstep. Should we talk about that Gideon's bakehouse issue?
I saw a little bit of that and I thought it was interesting. Did they ever determine if that was a legit account, like that was a real thing?
It was posted on social media.
Right. They claim that they were ex-employees.
And they were getting paid like below minimum wage.
Or current employees. I don't know.
Yeah. I think it was maybe current. Claiming they were.
I think it was a combination of both.
Yeah. And I'm like, well, dang, if you charge $6 for a cookie and there's a line out the door every day, you can afford to pay them more than $12 an hour or whatever it was. I mean, you charge more than that for two cookies.
again, they were hearing one side of it, but the
I think the management
they said something different, of course. So
yeah,
you know, basically, yeah, the management. I said, "Hi, I'm getting a lot of calls to answer the anonymous poster's right. claims of workplace mistreatment. We will respond, but I'm not anonymous and have guidelines I must understand. Okay. However, much of what is being represented is either misleading or false. I ask you not to run to the pitchforks and hear our side. I hope we've earned at least that much in our own community. I can eagerly go through the list of demands from why I shake my cold brew flavors to our handicap ADA compliance. Also, the flagship store offers a competitive take-home that is more than double what has been claimed, plus full benefits. In our 9 years of business, we have never failed a health and safety report or had any major infractions, and our second location would not have been permitted to open without meeting all requirements, and then some.
Dizzy Springs.
Yeah. Most importantly, I love my team. I hire everyone personally, and we discuss bringing emotional maturity and leaving out ego in the workplace with the need to look out for each other. Sometimes people fall short and are let go, but you'll notice many of the same faces have been with me for years. Gideon's is a team of over 180 people, and no one can ever say that everyone is completely happy in a group that large, but I feel confident that everyone is treated with care and respect. And see, their claims was like mistreatment, almost like, what was it? Was it like sexual harassment in some cases? Potentially? I could have swore that's what they... I could be wrong. Okay, it says, I see when it says they claim are unsafe and unacceptable working conditions. Unsafe was what they put. So I was trying to figure out like, what part's unsafe?
That's a good question. I don't... I've still... Well, you've been to Gideon's. Is it worth the... I forgot you liked it.
I did. I would go back there. I mean, I would look. I wouldn't.
What if this is true?
I wouldn't. I don't know. I kind of find it hard to believe. Then again, the people that were working there might be putting on a brave face, but they sure didn't seem like they were being forced to do anything. They seemed genuinely happy, the ones I dealt with.
Yeah. Well, they do have two locations.
Sometimes you can tell the difference between someone who's faking it, that, you know, they're faking the being nice or whatever. You know what I mean?
Right.
And you can tell the difference between the ones that aren't on motion with them.
What would be the reason, though, for them to make this up? Just to get some
That's another good
press
question,
on them? Like, yeah, a disgruntled employee or ex-employee?
It could be.
Just trying to take them down or something?
Think of it this way. It's one account. It's one social media account claiming to represent
a
number of employees. That doesn't mean that that part's even true. It could just be one for all we know.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
Could be one person stirring the entire pot.
Yeah.
We give a little bit too much credit to what happens on social media these days when it's really roughly what? I think this a study suggested that it's roughly like 11% maybe of the population are making comments on such things. So, right. I mean, that's not very big, folks. So, yeah. I mean, not saying it shouldn't be taken, that everything you see on social media should be taken lightly. It just shouldn't be taken as strongly as it was for a time period. Let's just say that. But depending on how this shakes out, if anything major comes about it, yeah, obviously it could be a problem.
Yeah. Oh,
but
we'll see.
They make some good points in there about how there's no way you're going to be allowed to open a second location if you have major issues. And they have opened a second location, so...
Unless this happened post that, but who knows?
I guess it could have been, but how long have they been in Disney Springs now? It hasn't been that terribly long, has it? Was it like 5 years?
A few years.
Was it before COVID?
I have to look. But they were claiming that the staff are contractually tipped employees making $8.98 an hour plus tips.
Contractually tipped.
However, company policy change in early 2024 now prohibits the solicitation of tips.
Well, because you're not... Tips? Okay. This is what the thing that I get. Tips, this is what I grew up being taught, basically, right? Tips are for service. You handing me my cookie is not a service, okay?
Right. Yeah, the tip thing has gone way out of hand at a lot of places.
Right. Like tips for swiping your card. Sure, you deserve a tip. I mean,
Yeah.
Yes, I get that you do. I mean, like I said, the whole point of tips was for service. That right. was the original intention, anyway.
Yeah.
You tip your barber. You know, that's kind of a customary thing, right? If they do a good job. You tip your luggage carrier, you know. Right. I mean, things like that. You don't tip someone for doing their job.
Right. I can deliver food. I can and do cut my own hair. I do, however, tip my urologist because I'm unable to pulverize my own kidney stones. That was a Dwight.
That came from a movie. Or
Dwight.
No, Dwight. Oh, okay, gotcha.
In the office, But anyway.
But I'm not against tipping somebody for some of these things, but it is a little overboard to, like, demand almost.
Yeah, and for certain things like
this. Try to
make
you feel bad for not doing it.
Yeah, when they flip the little thing over and it's like 18% is the lowest, you know, 18, 20, or some of them it's like 20, 25, 75%.
Yeah. It's like, what did you do to deserve this much?
Right. You took the thing out of the case and handed it to me, you know.
Yeah, it's like
20%.
We're spinning the thing around like that.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what one of those jokes said?
Right.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah, it's gotten out of hand for sure, but... You know,
I remember one time felt like we got the cold shoulder or whatever from, it was when we went to Disneyland. We were actually in the Los Angeles area, the Hollywood area. I forgot where it was. It was one of the tours that had stopped us somewhere. And we went in this pet store and Lynn had gotten something for the, I think, was it a pet store? It was something for the cats, but there was one of those things like where it was asking about, like, do you want to donate to a certain cause or whatever? When she said no, it was like the attitude changed. You know, it was like doing the sales rep because you said no to donating to something. It was like you got a little attitude over that. It's just ridiculous.
Right. If I don't know what it is, and it's like I do my own charitable contributions.
Exactly.
In its own way. Like, I don't, just because I don't support everything. Anyway.
You know, one of the thing is when it's just you and me, we really go off the rails.
We need a...
apparently, we need someone to keep us aligned.
But hey, you know, we just go off on tangents.
Well, anyway, obviously the owner...
Passholder previews.
So...
Oh, wait, what?
Well, I said the owner claims it makes says it.
Oh, I thought you were saying obviously they're false. I'm like, well,
no,
we don't know for sure.
I said the owner claims. That is a obviously owner claim. That they're misleading or false.
Yeah. And there's probably, the truth is probably somewhere in the middle, right?
That's the way it usually goes.
Yeah.
You have, what was it? You have two sides and the truth?
Yeah, right.
That's the way most
possibly.
Because, just be honest, nobody ever wants to paint themselves in a bad light or guilty most of the time.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm sure that the whole story.
Right. I'm sure that both sides have some faults and could do better.
I mean, I have no doubt that the business isn't perfect, but at the same time, I just find it hard to believe that there's something going on that merits that we're basing it on one social media account, making a claim, basically claiming that there are many and they may not even be. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So we don't know for sure.
Right. Because they're doing it, like you said, like he said, anonymously.
Yeah.
I mean, it ain't like it's a petition when you have a number of signatures and you know how many people based on the number of signatures, right? It's anonymous. So how do you know?
Yeah.
No one's coming out and doing it in the light. So, all right. So I'm really off of it now.
Tiana's. We were supposed to talk about that the whole time. But...
Okay. So one thing about Tiana's, that's what our main focus is. We're sprinkling stuff.
Yep.
Is that it's unsure, I guess, about its availability during the extended evening hours as of right now.
Yeah.
Like it was announced and then it was retracted. Well, that was the party.
Right, the Halloween party, which, I mean, come on, it's got to be available for that. But they're just...
You would think, but...
Yeah, if it's... And they also said that it'll be virtual queue only for basically for a short period of time. During the opening.
Only?
Yeah, it did say that. I was just reading a second ago Disney's statement on that. But they do expect it to go to like standby queue shortly after opening.
They said they only plan on using it during the attraction's initial opening days.
Right. Which to me says until after 4th of July, because they probably are thinking they might get an increase of attendance through that first week, probably.
This is interesting, though, because we have examples of ones that are still on virtual queue that have been
for
a while.
Guardians, for example, has been, and they had built that extended queue outside, and they still haven't used it.
Right.
Weird, right?
So why are they continuing to have Guardians on virtual queue? They took Remy's off the quickest of any that we've seen so far.
Yeah, that was very quick. You know, Tron is still on it after a year.
They took it away. When did they take it away from Rise? As soon as Remy was open, I believe that's what we...
So how long was Rise on that? Essentially, well, because of COVID, it kind of got disrupted, but a year total, I guess, or year and a half, I guess. So
it's hard to say for sure, but from the time that it first went on it was well over a year, right?
Yeah.
So, because Remy's opened in October of 21, wasn't it? I know it was right there.
Yeah, it was October 1, 2021.
And it didn't have the virtual queue. I mean,
it
switched from Rise to them, basically, at that point in time.
Yeah.
Didn't have it very long. It was it was less than a year before it dropped. Only thing I can think of, the common denominator or the common, I guess we'll say, reason that we'll see for potentially taking something away is queue space. Because I know you talked about them building an extra queue or whatever for Guardians, but at the same time, you still don't really have that much.
Yeah. I mean, I think the indoor queue holds a decent amount, but yeah, maybe
it's nothing like Rise holds though.
Right. Yeah. Rise is a huge queue. Maybe they think Guardians wouldn't be able to handle the standby yet, but I'm like, dude, this Rise has been open for 2 years now.
And Tiana's is basically going to utilize the queue that was already in existence from Splash, right? Which is pretty big.
Unless they've extended it more or something, maybe they have. But...
Well, the thing about it is, though, back whenever in the early days of Splash, that was a pretty big queue that you walked, you know, through with the outdoor, the unshaded or the outdoor section, we'll say, was pretty big. And then you also had the indoor sections that could be bigger depending on how you worked it.
Yeah,
it's a pretty big queue line for that attraction. So,
yeah, it's decently large. As far as the annual pass and DVC previews, that they're doing something very different. So instead of a virtual queue online where you get a spot and you show up, they're doing virtual queue in the park on the days of 7 a.m. and 1 p.m.
But you had to have park reservations.
Yes. As a pass holder, you have to have park reservations at Magic Kingdom to get the 7 a.m. Or if you have at a different park and you can get the 1 p.m. queue and then park hop to Magic Kingdom later to ride it. But, you know, we were thinking about that and I'm like, well, if you secured a spot online a month before, like all the other virtual queues did, you could plan a trip and say, okay, if you didn't live in Florida, for example, you could say, oh, I got it for June 14th, I'll plan a trip around that. But now, if you show up on June 14th and you don't get the virtual queue, there's a chance you could make a trip for nothing, and not be able to ride this.
Yeah, so, if you're coming from out of town or what have you,
I have a feeling they're going to keep that virtual queue pretty wide open, though, because I have a hard time believing they would turn everyone away, or not everyone, but turn a lot of people away if they came down, unless the ride just breaks down a lot, which it shouldn't.
Yeah, I was actually a little bit surprised. You know, we thought there was a possibility, or at least I know I did, that they weren't going to do pass holder previews at all.
Yeah.
And they practically don't, because they're only giving you that those couple of days.
Yeah, there's a handful of dates.
It's all within 1 week,
right? Yeah, it's June 13th, 14th, 16th, 17th, 18th, or 20th.
Right.
And if you show up with a park reservation, you can try to get in at 7 or 1 p.m. But again, if you missed out, you could potentially be making a trip and not even get to do it. But anyway.
Did we ever get an official date for the media so-called preview?
There was several saying that it was around the time, wasn't it? Like early June?
Yeah.
I think it's right before these pass holder dates, possibly. Like maybe June 11th and 12th or something. We had a date. Somebody confirmed a date, and I forgot what it was.
It doesn't look like so far this attraction, though, and I could be wrong, but it doesn't look like it's motivating people to book reservations.
Yeah, well, Magic Kingdom sold out of park reservations, but, yeah, hotels...
For the day of, right?
Doesn't seem to be, yeah. Yeah, for the dates that... The dates I just mentioned, yeah, their Magic Kingdom is sold out.
But what I'm getting at is you don't have... The only people that have to have a reservation anyway were pass holders.
Right. So right, exactly.
So really, if you have a day really ticket, saying much.
Right, right. Yeah. If you have a day ticket, you don't need that. But again, then you wouldn't be able to do the pass holder preview either. But
right. But let's say June 28th, the official opening day, obviously you can without a...
Right.
Without a reservation.
Right. But you'll AP have to would. Do a virtual queue.
Was AP or AP's able to get dates for the 28th?
I could look really quick. Because that was also a thing. Because I do have a park day booked for one of those dates, but I had to wait like an hour just to book a park reservation.
Yeah,
that day. It was ridiculous.
Which is interesting because, you know, only so many, what, of the population, I guess, of Disney goers will say have to do that now. So.
Yeah. Mm.
They must have a lot of annual passes out there.
Yeah. Because everyone tried to book anyway, whether they can make it or not. Let's see really quick.
Kind of reminds me of people booking Lightning Lanes or grabbing Lightning Lanes and not being there.
Yeah.
Was it Lightning Lanes? No, virtual queues. Because you didn't cost you anything.
Right. Yeah, so the 13th and 14th, 16th, 17th, 18th, and 20th. So basically all those dates, Magic Kingdom is still sold out.
Yeah, but I'm curious about the day that it officially opens for everybody.
Yeah, 28th, Magic Kingdom is sold out as well for pass holders. But the 29th is open, 30th and beyond. There's no dates where it's sold out.
It'll be interesting to see what it looks like on the 28th.
Not even July 4th. So I imagine the people who didn't get a preview date Magic Kingdom booked, they just booked the 28th so they could get in that way.
Now, another thing that was said was that they anticipate Tiana's being on regular Genie in the Lightning, in the Invisible Lightning Link.
Yeah, I think that was confirmed that... Where did I see that? Yeah, it was confirmed that it's not going to be...
Which is interesting to me just because that kind of breaks a tradition. Yeah,
this is official from Disney. Tiana's Bayou Adventure will also be included as a Lightning Lane entrance in Genie Plus service. Purchasing this on the day, yeah, it doesn't say it'll be individual Lightning Lane. It just says,
right, so it's going to be ILL, which so far in Magic Kingdom, there's still two of those.
Ugh, which drives me nuts still. Again, I've complained about that off and on for a long time.
Do they keep both of those as lightning individual lightning links because they think that they need them there at the most? I mean, I don't... You would think Pan could probably benefit from individual, right? Or I don't know where you put the queue.
Well, yeah, it's not long enough. The lightning link queue is not long enough. But they should take Severus Mine Train off of that. I don't know why they're continuing that.
It should have graduated, you mean?
Yes, it really should. I mean, that's just a money grab at this point. And it's not worth like the $10 that they usually charge for it either. They shouldn't charge that much for that one. But
I don't know if it has something to do with trying to balance out Magic Kingdom somehow. I don't know. There's got to be a reason.
Because there's so many attractions, they think Magic Kingdom should have two ILLs, but it doesn't. I mean, again, you could make the argument for others like Space Mountain which Space Mountain briefly was.
Thing is, you're adding a new attraction, technically a retheme, but still it's,
yeah,
you're adding something new.
You would think it's going to be, yeah.
Right, you think the latest one would have it, but
yeah.
Maybe it has to do with, once again, the queue line.
Possibly.
And it's from a previous attraction that was not an individual lightning lane, so.
Right. So nothing has changed except the theming, essentially.
Correct.
But still, it's new and a lot of people are going to want to do it, so.
Right.
Go figure. And really, the capacity is the issue with Mine Train, is why it has a line.
I was going to say, Splash used to have a pretty good wait during the warmer months anyway.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because that's when times people don't really mind getting wet.
Right. Because you will, if you're in the front row for sure, I mean, you'll probably get wet on any row, honestly, but you will get wet on Splash. Well,
yeah.
Tiana's
now. Yep.
I don't think it's changed enough to where, yeah, you'll get wet, especially on the last drop.
Yep.
Did we cover everything? Oh, the merch?
Exactly.
The merch will be available at the Emporium initially because the store's not ready yet.
Yeah, that's kind of strange.
Because it says June 28th, you can find collections for Tiana's Bayou Adventure and Princess and the Frog-inspired merchandise at the Emporium at Magic Kingdom. And shortly after the attraction debuts, hop over to Critter Co-op in Frontierland.
Well, there you go.
The new shop. It's not ready yet. And someone was saying there's no beignets, but I think at the Gold Note Outpost, you can still get beignets. So I think that's the closest, like, food location. So you can get the beignets there. It says the Friar's Nook will also be serving them.
Okay.
For a limited time. So,
to like come up with something better.
Right. They're not going to be the Mickey beignets, though, which I guess makes sense because it's not about that.
It's not about Mickey. Not everything is right. About Mickey. So I found this a little bit interesting. See if you like this.
Mm-hmm.
Disney CEO Bob Iger, Universal Epic Universe isn't a concern. He actually just flat out said it isn't a concern.
Right. And that they're just playing catch up to Disney.
Yeah, so it was a call. Oh, when was that? Was that just at the time of this? Well, this was like to the same day, I think. But
I thought anyway, it was like an interview.
Yeah.
Whatever. New York Times or something.
Media conference. Yeah. But anyway, when he was asked about the new theme park being built minutes away, he noted that Epic Universe isn't distracting or anxiety-provoking for Disney and that he is confident in the slate of attractions that Walt Disney World has rolled out over the past years. So his statement is consistent with his April comments, in which he says he's been aware of Universal and his plans for more than a decade, which is kind of interesting, and that Disney has been rolling out new offerings such as Galaxy's Edge, Pandora, Tron, Cosmic Rewind, and more, which we'd already commented on those concerning it. I guess maybe when he's talking about it not being a concern, thinking that it would, I guess, take business away, he says that the Universal expansions in the past have brought more tourists to Central Florida and that Disney has had competition from Universal for a long time. He's mindful of what he's doing, but he likes Disney's hand and that he's confident in what Disney has built. So I guess he just feels like they make a better overall product, but still, with what they're rolling out, you would got to think that it's probably going to take away from Disney's business a little bit.
Well, it's a completely new park. It's a third gate, so that means people would spend an extra day
at
Universal, potentially.
Has he not realized that they have not had another park that's this non-water park since Islands of Adventure?
Right, yeah, that was 25
years ago?
Years ago, yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Has it been 25 years since they had another non-water park?
Right.
Park?
Yeah.
I think he's kind of downplaying it a little too much, personally. But
yeah. I I mean, you don't want him to say, yeah, we're terrified that we made a huge mistake. And
no,
you
know, I don't think they should be terrified by any means.
Right.
Just brushing it off entirely is not the same thing.
Yeah. No, I think, as we've said earlier, the truth is somewhere in the middle, because they've got to be thinking about this.
Yeah, at least
which is why D23 is going to probably be a whole lot more.
One would think.
It's got to be better than 2 years ago, and even last year was kind of a disappointment, and they know that. So I think they're going to have to step it up, and they know they have to deliver this year with some good stuff.
What do you think about Disney Dreams, that Soar?
Yeah.
The drone show that's coming.
Very soon, actually.
To Disney Springs. Yes. The little bits that I've seen of it actually look fairly cool.
Yeah. And have you watched the Disneyland Paris one, though? Good Lord, that's good.
Really? No, I haven't watched that one.
I was stunned at how good that one was. It was like the Main Street Electrical Parade in the sky. It was like crazy.
I feel like this is going to be, you know, very impressive from the looks of it.
Yeah, so I kind of want to go see this because it debuts May 24th, so I'll be there in time to...
I wonder, though, because like in the drone shows that I've heard of and seen in the past, like you can like there's so many drones in use that they can you can hear them rather well.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, that's going to be
the buzzing of the drones.
Yeah, like I don't know how you avoid that, especially with hundreds of them or dozens of them, however many.
Yeah.
I don't know how you can't hear them, but I guess the music has to be loud enough to drown it out maybe, but
yeah.
It's impressive that they can do that coordinated with drones, you know.
This is not like a big story, I guess, but I think it's just kind of funny the way it's titled. It says, Joy Has Left Epcot.
Yes, of course. I saw that too. I was like, such a headline. Like, come on.
All the joy is gone out of Epcot.
That's one of those clickbaity headlines of like, okay.
I think someone just found an opportunity to be clever.
Yes, of course.
Where to have it.
Joy is no longer.
Well, a dad joke.
But isn't Inside Out 2 coming out? So where's Joy going to go?
I don't know. Why would you take her away now? Yeah, they actually have a film coming out like next month. And so she's
going
to have different clothes. Maybe she's coming back.
Yes. Go figure.
The Figment bus wrap has debuted. I know that's one of your favorite things, Adam.
Yeah, I can't wait to ride this bus. As I said last week.
About riding buses, period.
Unfortunately, yeah.
Yeah, but this one has Figment on it, Adam. So you should be thrilled.
Well, I do like purple. That's the only thing I can say about it that I like.
That's true.
It's my favorite color.
That was your favorite color from way back in the day.
Yeah. I still love purple. Oh, I did want to, back to Tiana's real quick. I did find the DVC dates. There's June 12th and 19th. Both Wednesdays from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. The crazy thing about that, though, is it's not just any DVC member can book this. You have to actually have a hotel reservation that you're using points for on that day to be able to get it. So that's like a very small group, you would think. That's great. It says members must hold the qualifying hotel reservations with their DVC membership. The member and number of guests on the resort reservations as of May 12th must have valid theme park admission and reservations if needed. So you've got to have it booked and be staying on points, it looks like, because you have to be using your membership too.
All of these rules, all of these rules and to do these things are just so complex.
Yeah.
I don't even want to fool with it. I don't even want to fool with any of it, truthfully.
Right.
I just want to go at a time
and ride stuff.
Ride the ride. Yeah.
Right. It's not like that anymore.
No. I mean, this is just way too complex.
But I wonder if people thought about that with the ticket book back in the day of like, dang, I have to buy a ticket book to ride I want to ride. Why can't I?
Yeah, we've almost reverted back to a system similar, right?
Right. Where it's like, if you wanted to ride more e-tickets, you'd have to buy another ticket book, right? Just to ride something twice or whatever.
Right, you had to go and get another ticket.
Yeah. So maybe they went back to that thinking that was the good old days. I don't know.
Yeah, but this that we're doing now is still, that's even more expensive than than to take a book.
Well, yeah, definitely. Even adjusted for inflation, it's like
I tell you
exponentially
what,
more.
If they actually did go back to a ticket book system, the lines would be really short.
You mean actual paper ticket books?
Well, yeah, I mean just actually, because it was only one ride unless you went and bought more, right?
Right.
There you go.
Yeah, you have to buy a whole other ticket book, not just one ticket, right?
Since it was one ride, I mean, their line, they probably hardly had anybody in the queue.
Yeah.
After they had ridden it.
Did they ever have individual ticket book for one ride? Anyway.
Still. Well, it wasn't until, what, the early 80s, I think we discussed
it. It was like 81 or 2, 3, somewhere in the early, right around when Epcot opened is when they abandoned the
ticket book. Yeah. So they did it for a good decade.
Yeah.
So, yeah. All right. Well, as we have been doing this, the brothers WDW have been doing a challenge run.
Looks like they're going to do it.
Yeah, it looks like they're going to make it. They made S'more Worlds, by the way.
So let me see if Mine Train is still open, because it looks like that's the one that was closed earlier.
Yes, they plan on it's back open. I think that's what they plan on ending it on, if I had to guess.
Yeah, that makes the most sense. Looks like, what is it, Astro Orbiter and Mine Train are the two left, and they've got 30 minutes.
It's interesting, because the proximity of those two rides kind of contradicts their typical strategy.
Well, they bounce around a lot, actually, and, you know, they run wherever they go, so
they've said, actually, on the show when we were here, though, their typical strategy has a lot to do with proximity.
Yeah.
They're right.
I don't know, today they bounced around a lot.
I guess it's whatever works at the moment, really. That's kind of what you got to go with.
So, you know, obviously the hours are different depending on the day, because the first night it was the Epcot after hours, had the late hours, so they grailed Magic Kingdom, and they went and did grailed was Animal Kingdom, then Hollywood, then Epcot. Whereas today they started Animal Kingdom, jumped to Magic Kingdom so they could get Main Street and some of the other, and then jumped back to Animal Kingdom to finish it. And then jump to Hollywood.
Yeah, a lot of jumping.
And then
a lot of hopping. Something you couldn't have done not too terribly long ago.
Yeah, the quick hopping. Yeah, early hopping too.
Yep.
Which is the only reason it's possible to do Parkeology, because of Main Street vehicles and rafts and everything. And to get all that in early.
Right, in that time frame.
Set them up for using the deluxe after hours to get this done. So it looks like, they'll probably, unless something breaks down, looks like they'll have two completions in 3 days.
Yeah.
So it's pretty cool.
It was interesting.
They are Hall of Famers for sure. So maybe we'll have them come on and talk about it again.
Yeah, we meant to get them last time whenever they did it. Gosh, yeah. they probably have the most recent completions, right? Like three of them.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody else has had a true completion of Parkeology in time period, right?
Didn't we talk? Was there one recently that did it? I don't remember. No, it was Everride.
It was Everride, yeah. I don't think I've heard of a Parkeology completion except for the brothers.
Yeah. You know, the first run, if we do get them on, we'll have to talk about that one, because they technically, I mean, they got the completion, but it was after the official park hours had ended for Guardians. I had thought, and they didn't post it
I think they decided to go ahead and do this run again today because they want to finally get one of their most recent ones without any controversy.
Yeah, yeah.
Any potential competition. Because you remember when they completed it, What was it? February of this year, was it? Or was it?
Gosh, was it? Or was it earlier? Later? I don't remember.
Anyway, the one they did prior to that.
Mm.
Might have been last year, actually.
I think it was.
It was that long ago. Yeah.
Right. This doesn't remind me
anymore. But there was some sort of a technicality that somebody tried to call them out on, and I can't remember what it was.
Okay. Yeah.
I have to go back and look it up.
Right. Well, this one was that test track.
I want to accuse them of cheating. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, they got on Guardians after, but they were let on, like the cast members were letting more than one. So more than just them on after the 11 o'clock hour.
So what I'm really saying with this one is they would kind of like to have one that's clean. Let's put it that way. Any potential.
Yeah. Just to like put a stamp on the fact that they're probably the best out there right now doing this.
Well, they're one of the few actually doing it, truthfully, still.
And but they're
hasn't picked up yet.
Every time they're out there, you know that they have fantastic shot at finishing.
They're good at it.
Speaking of, as of right now, they just finished posting 51 of 52. So all they got to do is Mine Train's just got to stay open. Yep, so we'll probably be talking about this next week. But
yeah, because they're already on orbiter. So
yeah.
And that was in the last 30 seconds, and that's not a very long ride, so they don't really have...
11:33 p.m. is the timestamp on the photo, and they have until midnight.
Assuming that Mine Train remains open, they could crawl over to Mine Train at this point.
They'll make it. They should make it with 20 minutes to spare.
They could probably have dinner in between.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, yeah, it made me think of Jason and... the run that we came at one short, which is they wouldn't let us on.
Right.
Of course, you know, we didn't try to like,
you didn't even
beg or plead. Yeah. But still, even if we did and they let us on, I would have, even if it was unofficial, I would have counted it but in my book.
See, like with Guardians, I feel like they're letting people on because of two things. They know how the ride can be.
Right.
And it's still relatively new and popular, so I think they kind of were lenient there. Wasn't the case with Mine Train at the time.
Not then, yeah. Right, I agree. It's Guardians, yeah, it makes sense, and it moves fairly quickly, too, so...
I don't know. If you're there during an After Hours event, Guardians of the Galaxy doesn't feel like it moves quickly at all.
Did they just have one side running?
No, I mean, it just took forever because they, you know... I felt like... I made the comment after
the pre-shows.
When you're doing an after-hours event, people are trying to get as many things in as many times as they can, and you have to wait on pre-shows.
Yeah.
Like, I would have thought, okay, you could have skipped something in the test track, too. Like, you could have skipped the making a vehicle, possibly.
Or at least give people the option. Like, leave the doors open, yeah.
Yeah, just leave the door open and then just do it that way.
You can watch the pre-show if you want to. Otherwise, just keep moving.
Right. I really think with Guardians, they have too many pre-shows, personally. I think they could have done fine with just one of the two.
Yeah. I mean, it's an impressive effect, the second one.
Yeah.
And whatnot, but yeah, it's just too long.
I would say keep that one because of the impressive effect. Just don't or keep the one prior to it so shorter.
Yeah.
You know?
There's almost like three pre-shows because you get in that waiting room, kind of holding area. There's nothing going on, but you feel like you're stuck in that room, and then the door's finally open, and you're stuck in the second room, and then you go to the next room, and you're stuck in there have more queue to go, so it just feels like forever.
See, and I had posted, for those of you that maybe don't know, you may have seen it by now, a video of Test Track from 1999.
Yeah.
The year that it opened.
Yep.
One of the main reasons that I posted the video is because I knew I had footage of the vehicle crashing at the end, which stopped. It basically just stopped and sat there in the crash position.
Right. Yeah.
Mere months after this, right? I mean, it didn't take long.
Yeah.
It seems like there's always something like that with a Disney attraction. Think of Rise with the guns.
Right.
Or
the Yeti at Everest. Yeah.
Everest with the Yeti is probably the shortest amount of time that anything's been operating before it was put down.
And Jason and I were talking about that this morning because he was saying, you know, he wants to get there for the preview so he can see the ride before whatever the thing for Tiana's stops working. Yeah. And then they just leave it.
Well, usually you get a long enough period of time that you should be able to.
Yeah, like 6 months or so of it. And then they'll.
The only thing Splash really had, and it was like, sporadic that it operated was to
the bouncing, the hopping, Bear Rabbit, which, either it was out of sync or it didn't work right a lot of times. Yeah, that would be the one.
But it's not an effect that just like went away after a few months. I mean, it was sporadic.
Yeah.
I can't think of one effect in particular, though, from Splash that just stopped working forever, so to speak, like, so while we're talking. Yeah. That's the closest thing was that.
Right.
No, but what made me think of the video part, too, is the we were just talking about the cue for Guardians, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you go back to that test track.
Oh, the original, yeah.
And you had a cue line that actually, it was long, but it moved, right? Like, you can even see in this video, this is a matter of months after it's been open. The cue line got to be long there, but it kept moving.
Right.
And I don't know about you, but anytime I continuously move, it doesn't feel as long as it.
Right. Yeah. Even if you're 30 minutes or whatever.
Right. If I'm walking the space versus standing in the space, it doesn't feel as long.
Right. Or if you're inching along and then stop for 5 minutes and then inch along, it's better than.
Even moving at a slow pace feels better.
Better.
You know what I mean? It's just a consistent, slight crawl. Feels better than the, constantly stopping or having to wait for however long.
Right.
That queue moved relatively quickly, and they were doing showrooms. Like, didn't they have like three rooms at the top of the, if I'm not mistaken, they had one, like showroom 1, 2, and 3 before going to the next queue shorter?
I think so, yeah. Yeah, I remember multiple ones.
Yeah. With basically how they divided things up a little bit. And even that didn't feel as long. Because the show you were watching was funny, mildly entertaining,
Right.
Prepping you felt like it was still part of the actual waiting for what you're about to do next type deal.
Mm-hmm.
That was when their showrooms did that, though. It was like Test Tracks was like that. Dinosaur. Like that.
Yeah, I was thinking Dinosaur, too. It's not super long.
Yeah.
I think it got a little long with, like, Flight of Passage. It's a little lengthy there. It's still you're still doing something, but it's not.
But, well, for the one for Flight of Passage, you actually have to go a fairly good distance to.
Yeah.
Like, you go through two queues, basically, once again.
Yeah. The long.
You go through the one with the.
Right. And then you do the.
And then you go with the Sigourney Weaver ripoff.
Right.
And then, even those, though, they don't feel as bad as the Guardians.
Yeah, I know.
Can't explain it. It doesn't feel as long, I should say, as the
Guardians. It seems like it takes forever, especially the whole Epcotians and Epcot Terrans. And it's like, gosh, just say it already.
Yeah, it just feels like it takes forever.
Terry Crews, just say it.
Anyway.
Someone's got to tell me when I'm on. Like, yeah, okay. That's only funny, the first 5 times you see it.
Right. So if anybody wants to see Test Track in its glory days,
where can you find it?
Yeah. So we're on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, of course. Or X and Instagram. I keep doing that every once in a while. Twitter X, X Twitter.
Yep.
That's all at TWTM Podcast. We have a Spreadshirt store with our exclusive TWTM merchandise at shop.spreadshirt.com/TWTM Podcast. And we also have a YouTube channel that I just mentioned and that latest video that I did of Test Track 1999. And where can you find that at?
Our website, which is travelingwiththemouse.com. You can email us podcast@travelingwiththemouse.com. And we have links to that and our travel agent friends and everything on our website.
So for Adam, my name is John. This has been Traveling with the Mouse. We hope you will join us on our next trip. We're not talking about tripping acid. We're talking about our next trip to Disney.
Yeah. Oh, you know what I was just now thought about? Matt. Maybe we'll do this in the future. Is to where the Beyond Big Thunder may start, because if they're going to close Big Thunder for a year, maybe that's partly to adding the entrance to that new land and
preparation,
because it looks like they would have to move the maintenance shed for the Big Thunder in order to make room for an entryway to a new land. So
possibly
it'd be interesting.
They'll have to get off the shed.
Get off the shed so we can move it.